Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend's readings, my friends, are focusing on our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Universe. And before we get into our readings, I want to take a moment to wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving coming up next week. And on that line, what is it that you and I are grateful for, thankful for, my friends? What has God done for you and your family? The blessings, the graces and gifts that he has been giving to us for years and years are things that we need to acknowledge and be thankful for. I hope you would agree. And it's important, my friends, because sometimes we take God for granted. We take for granted the things that we can do, which are really privileges, blessings, like walking, talking, hearing, seeing, touching, feeling, all kinds of blessings God has given us. And this Thanksgiving, I want to encourage you, inspire you to take a moment to just acknowledge your blessings, your gifts before God as a family. Take a moment gathered around the dinner table to say a blessing at the family meal, but to give thanks to God for all of the wonderful gifts, graces, and blessings that he has bestowed on you and on your family. This, my friends, is important. This past weekend, we had a pilgrimage to the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., for the Diocese of New Jersey. And we ran a bus along with many other churches into Washington. And it was just a spectacular moment to listen to the bishop and to see the people respond to the message truly that he was bringing to us. And, you know, one of the things that we want to focus on that is a concern for the bishop is how do we bring our children, our youth, back to God. I want you to give that some thought, my friends, because truly, you know, we're in a world today which needs a lot of help. And our children are the future. But what kind of future will this be for them and for their families if God is not present? So how do we bring God into the lives of our kids? I want you to pray about it, give it some thought, and see if you can't do something great in your family, in your circle, for your kids, for your nieces and nephews, for your children in the youth group at your church. What is it that you can do to bring the youth back to God? That is our theme for our show today. Let's go to our first reading, my friends. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Number two, is your heart open wide for God? Check. Number three, is your Bible open? Check. And number four, are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. And here it is. In those days, all the tribes of Israel came to David in Hebron and said, "Here we are, your bone and your flesh. In days past, when Saul was our king, it was you who led the Israelites out and brought them back. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and shall be commander of Israel.' When all of the elders of Israel came to David in Hebron, King David made an agreement with them there before the Lord, and they anointed him king of Israel." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of 2 Samuel, we are given a great message about King David, who made an agreement with the people, who made an agreement with them before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they anointed him the king of Israel. What a powerful moment for King David, in which the people and he and the Lord are truly synonymous. They are united in the right direction. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing, my friends, if we as a nation, as nations throughout the world, were united with God's word, with his way of doing things, if we had an agreement. But we know that there are people out there who are in opposition to the message of the gospel, who are opposed to our Lord Jesus Christ. And this has always been part of the problem. Are you part of the solution or part of the problem? You and I, my friends, want to be part of that solution, to bring people closer to Jesus Christ, to truly walk in his way, to follow him as a true disciple. And the word of God talks about shepherding my people. Okay, and the Lord says that you, David, shall shepherd my people Israel and shall be the commander of Israel. So I pose the question, what are the characteristics of a good shepherd? And we see many priests out there who shepherd the flock week in and week out through a great message, a great homily, through the integration of the Word of God throughout the Mass. We see our Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost, termed as the Good Shepherd. So what are the characteristics of the Good Shepherd? Because you and I are called also to be shepherding the flock in our families, in our communities, in schools. What can we do to help the kids to go in the right direction? And some of the characteristics that I want to lay out for you, number one, because the second greatest commandment is for us to love one another. A good shepherd must be loving. And love is an action word. We must put that into action each and every day as we greet other people. We need to be patient and not impatient, because we're dealing with human beings. Requires patience, kindness. We have to be good teachers and able to educate the flock to go in the right direction, to do the right things in word and action, to be one and the same, and not to be hypocritical, but to be truly one and the same as we line up with what God says to do and not to do. The good shepherd must be a protector of the flock. He must be a defender of the flock. And when we talk about the flock is you and I, my friends, throughout the world. Human beings, men and women, not only who are walking around, but those in the mother's womb. So the unborn child, which is very vulnerable. As the laws have been in place for many years that do not protect the unborn child, we have to stand up in the states strong to protect and defend the life of the unborn child, which is so important. And a true leader, a true shepherd, will protect and defend his flock right into the mother's womb, which is powerful. The good shepherd must be a good listener to understand the needs, the concerns of his flock. He must be a problem solver to fill voids, to satisfy needs, but a problem solver to move everyone forward, going in the right direction. The good shepherd is so important. And once again, our Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, first and foremost, as he leads us down the right path. Which path is that? Well, the Lord says it clearly. No one comes to the Father except through me. See, he wants us to get home to the Father in heaven. He wants us there with himself and the Father, the Holy Spirit. This, my friends, is where he is leading us. Throughout our lives, we're on that spiritual journey, but we want to go home to the Father, and the Good Shepherd is the only one who can take us there. Let's go to our second reading, a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, let us give thanks to the Father, who has made you fit to share in his inheritance of the holy ones in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of the cross. Through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians, St. Paul encourages us to give thanks to the Father who made us fit to share in the inheritance of the holy ones in light. How often do you and I take a moment to give thanks to the Father for the gifts, graces, and blessings once again we have been given? What changes did the Father make in you and in me that brought us into the inheritance of the holy ones in light? What changes did we make? Did he take us out of addiction into cleanliness and sobriety? Did he take us out of incarceration into a free life where we can walk around, have our freedom once again? Has he taken us out of a state of greediness, pride, prejudice, the superego, jealousy, envy, selfishness, bitterness, hatred, lust, cynicism, anger? Has he changed our hearts to take us from all that into a whole new life in Christ? Objectively speaking, my friends, what changes did God make for you? How did he change your mind and your heart? Isn't it time that we take a moment to acknowledge the Father of all mankind, the Creator of heaven and of earth? The Father of all mankind who gave us our Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, who died on the cross for us? How much does our Father in heaven love us that he would give us his only begotten Son? How much does the Father love us, my friends, that he would allow his Son to endure the torture, the pain, the suffering that he did when he was nailed to that cross? How much does the Father love you and I? Isn't it time that we say thank you to the Father? Isn't it time that we acknowledge once again the blessings that we have been given, the gifts that we use every day that are God-given? Isn't it time that we follow the words of St. Paul when he says, let us give thanks to the Father who has made you fit to share an inheritance of the holy ones in light? We are inheriting something very special, eternal life with our Father in heaven. This is powerful. The word goes on to say that God delivered us from the power of darkness, delivered us from evil. And that is a place that you and I don't want to be. God brought us through it. He brought us out of it. He gives us the light, like a lighthouse shining on the water on the ocean, where you can see the sheen at night. The lighthouse is a beacon. And God has given us that same light so that we can go the right way, take the path that will get us home to the Father. The Lord, the Father, has done this for us. And we have been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son, Jesus, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit are one. But do we take time to thank the Father once again for the changes he made in you and I, for delivering us from our greatest weakness, our most vulnerable area, for getting us through some of the most difficult things that we ever endured? Have we taken it for granted? Or do we acknowledge our gifts, graces, and blessings? Only you would know. But I'll tell you one thing, my friends, it takes humility before God. And if you and I don't have humility to say thank you to God, to get on our knees and pray to God and say thank you for whatever he has done for you and I, if we don't have the humility to do that, we have work to do. Because God calls us to a higher standard. And this is the season of Thanksgiving coming up next week. And I pray for you and I to grow in humility before God, to say thank you more often, to give thanks to God for everything that we are given, and to not take it for granted, but to truly be grateful for it. And there are many parables that the Lord has taught us through. Sometimes the Lord had cured many people, but only a single person came back to thank him. I want you to think about where you stand. Are you one of the people who came back to thank God like they do in the Basilica of Guadalupe in Mexico City, where people come in walking miles and miles to thank Our Lady of Guadalupe, to thank God through Our Lady of Guadalupe for the blessings they have received, the cures, the gifts they've been given? They come in on their knees, and I've witnessed this, my friends. So if we don't have the humility to get on our knees, is something wrong? We have work to do. The Word of God says, before the world ends, every knee shall bend and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But every knee shall bend at the name of Jesus. This, my brothers and sisters in Christ, requires humility before God. Let's go to our gospel reading. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, verses 35 to 43. And here it is. The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the king of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we receive corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke, today, my friends, we're given a great message of faith. Where the two criminals who were put to death on each side of our Lord Jesus Christ while he hung up on the cross, one was a man of faith and the other did not have a clue. But it was the faith in Jesus that was displayed by this man who said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he acknowledges the power of Jesus Christ right there on the cross. He acknowledges his ability to give us eternal life. And the Lord responds. And he says, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Yes, indeed, my friends. This is what faith is all about. And God gives us the ability to be in paradise with him. But we have to have faith in him. We have to believe with our whole heart and confess with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just as the man hanging on the cross, who was a criminal, sentenced to death, conveyed his message of faith before the witnesses to their death. You and I, my friends, will be tested. We may have to respond in the same way. God calls us to truly express our faith in our hearts and with our tongues, to believe wholeheartedly and to not give a half-hearted attempt at this thing we call a faith journey. God wants us to put out, to give our all. And like St. Paul, who says, he fought the good fight, he ran the good race, and now the crown which has been promised awaits him. You and I also have the same opportunity, but we too will have to give witness, testimony, to our Lord Jesus Christ in front of other people. We will have to bring the love of God into the hearts and minds of other people. And it will be a moment truly that God has allowed to occur, because within the world there are many things happening today. And you and I, my friends, are still here when so many have gone before us. But we'll have opportunity to give testimony to our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. And we will be greeted by those who are opposed, those who are reluctant, those who are filled with hatred for the cross of Christ, those who are opposed to the love of God. You and I will have to stand up strong for the morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles that God our Father has put forth for the world to follow. You and I will have to get the job done to the best of our abilities. And like St. Paul and the apostles, and like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Abraham and Moses, you and I are called to be faithful and to speak out strong and to give witness, to give our testimony on how God changed our lives for the better, how he filled us up through the Holy Spirit and gave us the love of God, the joy of the Lord. You and I, my friends, will be tested. Let your light shine brightly. Let your light shine every day of the week, every moment you can, to fill this earth with the light of God, the light of Christ. And through the Holy Spirit, my friends, I pray that God will bless you and your family with a very happy and healthy Thanksgiving season. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. I want to thank you for joining us today here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. Have a great day, happy Thanksgiving, and God bless.
You have been listening to Clear for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.